respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Sarana Gashami Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gashami Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gashami Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Sampadaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gaumini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct jnana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! Oh, happy blessed place! Oh, happy blessed time! Oh, happy blessed path! Oh, happy blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here in suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
For folks who are new to practice, if you'd like a backdrop back there in the back of the room to sit on, you're most welcome to get one now. And a reminder to folks that we record the Sunday morning groups and they're made available to people who are monthly donors to Living with Passion. So what shall we look at this morning?
I'm just so happy to be here. Having just arrived yesterday. And watching conditioning come in to evaluate.
Uh-huh.
You know, how's it going? Uh-huh. Less than, what, 18 hours here?
Are you 12
hours?
Yes.
Which
is what it does. Which in mind evaluates.
Yeah. Compare, contrast. Well, the last time you were here in this 12 hour
in the first
period.
12 hours. Yeah, right.
Really, you were much more, you know, this or that or, you know, whatever.
So this is how the whole state is going to go.
yeah, sort of feeling like that. I mean, that's what conditioning wants to put out there. So I also had a great experience of walking up the path this morning, and one of conditioning's favorite stories to just really reel me in is how my divorce went. Mm. And it started, and it just, it has like one or two lines,
right.
and it just, mm-hmm. and I could feel, you know, I could feel kind of this downward spiral sort of happening, and I thought, oh look, there's a new lattice work. Okay, maybe I haven't recognized it before, but maybe it's been here before, but boy, it sure looks really new to me right now. And just focused on the lattice work and the one little plant that's kind of starting to grow up, and how fun that is that plant is sort of starting to explore that lattice work. And then went, wow, okay, wow, that was, you know, that was done. That conditioning was, you know, thwarted in that way. And then sitting down at breakfast and going, okay, do I want to play with being in the dark room, light room? And so I had some fun with that, sort of kind of tipping a toe back into the dark room, uh-huh. letting that thought uh-huh. come back in about the divorce, and then uh-huh. and then coming back out. And,
So let me see if I'm tracking. So you're just innocently walking up the path. There you are. You're just walking up the path. You're at the monastery. Glad to be here. And in comes a story about how your divorce went.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like from what you're describing was that at that moment you realized, wait a minute, the attention is getting pulled somewhere I actually don't want it to go.
Right.
Right? Because we can guess you didn't volitionally say, you know, I think I'll start thinking about my divorce. That seems appropriate. I mean, I'm on the path at the monastery, right? Might as well. Right? It just hits us out of the blue.
Yeah.
Right? We're literally not making that choice.
Right.
Which is a really good thing to see, to remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, we think our thoughts are ours. Those are my thoughts. I'm thinking that.
Right.
But that's such a good illustration that, no, it's not at all. It's just conditioned mind coming in with this thing that it knows it sounds like it can get you with just two sentences and it's gotcha.
Yeah. And go ahead.
But you realized you had another choice.
Yes.
And you used your physical environment to make that choice. Just looking around, oh, the lettuce, look at that new and the plant that's coming up.
Right.
And that you actually brought yourself back to being here.
Right. It's really that exercise of light room, dark room, of, you know, seeing the lights go dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and then looking for the light switch of, oh, wait.
So the light room, kind of the way we often talk about it, being a metaphor for being here in the present moment, where everything just is as it is, and it's perfectly okay, and we realize we're adequate to all of it, and, you know, all of that. And then the dark room being kind of that place where we get pulled off into some kind of a story that just about always leads to a place of feeling bad or suffering in some way. And so then it sounds like later on you kind of played with that movement of going between the two places.
And that's still kind of scary, you know, to get, you know, even though I feel like it's very much about building that muscle, if you will, of going down that path of conditioning, and then to really gain the confidence and the experience of being able to make that choice to the other side.
Yeah. It is a particular place in practice, isn't it, that we want to go into with a ton of consciousness.
Yeah.
Right? So, because at first, you know, most of us spent most of our time in the dark room, in the way we're talking about that, in a suffering place, in the stories, believing what conditioned mind tells us about who we are, how the world is,
right,
all those things. And then we find out, oh my gosh, that's not true at all. There's this whole other way of being that's possible. And so we find the light room. And at least for, you know, a good solid chunk of time, we want to just do everything we can do to bring ourselves, to remind ourselves of the light room, and just to spend, you know, time in the light room as much as we can, as much as that's available to us. And that sounds like what I project onto what you're saying is that there comes a place where we realize, oh, I don't have to be afraid of the dark room.
Yeah.
I can actually experiment with, all right, so what takes you there? Okay, then I bring myself back and then exploring that.
Yeah, and I think that's that rejection of wanting to reject what is at the moment, kind of what we talked about at the retreat a couple of weeks ago. What is at the moment is there is conditioning there, and feeling so afraid of it, or not wanting to succumb to that, or thinking that that's bad, which is just duality again. It's just conditioning again. It's like, oh no, this is actually what's here. Can I be with it?
Right. And again, you really modeled that perfectly, because so up comes the divorce story. If you were to go, no, oh God, I hate that, oh please not that, I'll do anything, it was okay, because no, remember it turned
out,
all of that would be engaging with it, right? But that's not what you did.
Right.
What you did is you just didn't pay any attention to it. You didn't resist it, I project, you didn't hate it, you didn't whatever, just, oh, look at that lettuce, look at that flower.
Well, I have to be totally honest. I had a moment there of going, no, I'm much better off. No, I'm much better. You know, no, I wanted this. And then I went, wait, lettuce work.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but it took that.
Well, I'll bet that was even a place of, so you do that and realize, uh-oh, that I'm actually engaging with it.
Yeah.
That's going to bring me further into it.
Right.
And then seeing that and just choosing, okay, well, what's here? What's just here? Rebecca.
I was just thinking about how I was walking up here today. We were running a little bit late, and it was a little bit nerve-wracking. And I was walking together with my partner, and we just kind of looked at each other and started smiling. Uh-huh. We kind of used like the other person to help bring us out of that dark place.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't really that dark, but.
Uh-huh. But it could have been, huh?
Yeah.
If it kind of builds, doesn't it? Until. Yeah. You know, the story's little at first. Oh, you're late. Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, you're always late. God, why are you always late? You've ruined your whole life. You know, pretty soon we're...
Yeah. You get all that in your head. But bringing yourself out of that place and using another person, mm-hmm. not using another person, but just kind of like making that that connection with uh-huh. somebody else, that uh-huh. there's that space
yes.
in both of you.
Yeah.
Just like a smile is a really helpful tool.
Smiling is a very helpful tool. Mm-hmm.
I just yeah. even realized myself smiling when I was meditating. I just like mm-hmm. reminded myself of certain Buddhas that uh-huh. are smiling uh-huh. and meditating.
Yeah, yeah.
It was helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, it is helpful. It really is helpful. It's like it, smiling sends a message to the whole kind of system, isn't it? That it's okay. It's all right. We're happy. Things are okay. Uh-huh. And you know what's fun about practice is that as we have a tool that we talk about projection, so that kind of everything we're seeing out there is actually something that's happening in here. And so that connection that you're talking about making with another person, you know, smiling with another person and having that person smile back, we realize that that whole experience, the both smiling parts and the connection, can all happen internally. You get a sense of that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you can carry that with you. So when you have someone with you to, who can, you know, do that with you, great. And when you don't, that's fine too, because you've got the whole package here inside of you.
Made me think of like meditating with others, how you have some kind of, yeah. I don't know, in that smiling thing, mm-hmm. it just, you're in the same room as somebody else, you're in the same space with other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Something very powerful about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for me there's a sense of, especially in a place like this that's so amazing where, you know, you were here this morning for the orientation and we were talking about the privileged environment. And the reason that's set up is so that we each can completely have our own practice and just be wherever we need to be and know that no one's going to interfere with that. And there's something so powerful about being with other people who are also doing the amazing work of bringing the attention inward, but that just by being here, we're really supporting each other in doing that.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Projection brought up something. I've been reading a book by a Zen teacher, mm-hmm. and I've had the experience of I it feels like I'm falling in love with him. You know, I just read what he wrote, and I just my heart feels open. And this morning it was like I realized what I'm doing is falling in love with my authentic self.
Falling in love.
And just falling in love.
Yeah.
And that, you know, to just to recognize those that place in me, that authenticity within this being,
yeah.
and to be falling in love with that,
yeah.
and it's just, you know, it just brought me back to you know, how many years of like reading or, you know, looking out there at heroes and yeah. folks that inspired me and think,
yeah. Oh gosh, if I wouldn't be like that.
Yeah. Right. I got a lot of work ahead of me, you know, and a lot of years uh-huh. and really, you know, feeling and how conditioning uses that to make, you know, it's like the carrot at the end of the stick, yeah. like after years and years and years of work, you know, maybe you can hope to have just a little bit of that,
sure.
and to just be in that place of uncovering that already exists.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's really back to the focus of attention, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So there, you're reading something or you're seeing someone that you really is a hero for you, and this projection of, you know, all of what that is. But then conditioning wants to bring the attention to how you're not that.
Yeah.
And how, well, you're this and you're yeah. that, but you could be that, so let's get on a self-improvement
right.
program of, you know,
yeah.
we were watching the video of meditation instruction this morning, and there's that place in it where she makes the critical point that meditation is not self-improvement.
Yeah.
But once we begin a meditation practice, you know, conditioning's best kind of tack is to make it self-improvement. So, oh, there's, you know, whoever the hero is. Okay, here we go. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and then this, and pretty soon I'm going to be that. But of course, meanwhile, all of the attention is on how I'm trying to be that. And just hiding the most amazing thing from us, which yeah. is that, oh my goodness, if I can see it, I am that.
Yeah.
And the whole time we could be focusing, practicing that, just yeah. being that.
Yeah. And just, I don't know, just the joy that comes from seeing yeah. that and being that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's yeah. so... It's It's just so joyful. And you know that whole thing of opposites. Mm-hmm. You know that thing that whatever conditioned mind has us focused on, mm-hmm. the opposite is follow that back and see how the opposite is so.
Could you give us? Would you be comfortable with a little example?
I just wrote down how if I could imagine a perfect day, what that would be like.
Okay.
You know, uh-huh. and the whole time thinking, well, it's not how I'm right now, but this if it was, this is, and then to write it down and realize, oh my gosh, that I don't know if this is quite the law of opposites, but you know that I'm believing I'm having the opposite experience.
Right.
But I'm actually having that experience that I would like to have because I can write it down.
Yeah. So is it something like this? So you're constantly told, you know, you're not really having the life you could have, or the life that you really want to have, or the. And so as you clue into that conversation in the mind, you actually, whatever it's saying, you can go to the opposite. Okay, so what it's saying is, I'm not really having the life I could have, or I should have, mm-hmm. or I want to have. Mm-hmm. I must be having exactly the life that I want.
Exactly.
And then it's kind of this little adventure to see how that's,
Whoa, it's way more fun than looking at how it's not. and trying to fix it.
Okay, well, if it's not so, then let's get to work and let's make it so.
Yeah.
But of course, we can see in that very movement is taking us away from it. Because if we're already there, mm-hmm. if we're already in exactly the life that we want to have, then what's the way to take it away from us? Try to have it.
And try, you know, all those years of self-help books and, you know, and trying so hard to have what was already there.
Oh, it engenders a lot of compassion, doesn't it?
Yeah. it really does.
I had this neat experience last night. I was at an event for an organization that I'm part of, and it's an advocacy organization. It has a point of view.
Okay.
And so someone came to the event who had a different point of view. And and I remembered that a number of years ago we got a definition of facilitate, which was to make easy.
Yeah.
And that came up, fortunately, and I thought, you know, it'd be so easy to get locked in here. And so, excuse me. So I consciously thought, how to make it easy. Mm. And so what happened was we had this really interesting conversation. Mm. And I, you know, it was not about not presenting a point of view.
Uh-huh.
It was not about arguing.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, in fact, knows more than I do, but he has a different worldview.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of went back and forth, and you know, I gave a little bit, and he gave a little bit, and we sort of drew some lines places, but it never was an argument. Mm-hmm. It was never a problem.
Uh-huh.
And it was just such a pleasant place to be, in a realm in which those kinds of meetings are often unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it, of course, has to do with not taking it personally.
Right.
So that's the bedrock, I think.
Right.
And not assuming that he's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, I have a different take on it. But it's a different thing to say I have a different view of this than to say he's wrong.
Right.
And a lot of the time I can fall into he's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But last night I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was partly, I mean, I have to also credit him, that there was a kind of willingness to enter discussion on his part, too.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so what could have been a really unpleasant situation, just because of some things we've learned about making easy, you know, making easy and not taking things personally, felt like a really nice conversation, from which we both emerged feeling pretty good.
Wow. And it's just such a testament to the practice that you've done over the years, isn't it? That it's not, from the way you describe it, there you are, you're in this situation, and it wasn't like, okay, what am I going to do? But just the facilitate to make easy just drops in as a possibility for you, as another way of approaching, it sounds like a pretty familiar situation. And a situation where you sound like also quite familiar with the suffering roads that you can go down with it. And then just suddenly there was this other choice and you took it.
It was fun too because, you know, I've been in that kind of situation before where I did not go to where this could be easy. And I can just feel like my whole body just gets rigid, you know, I mean, I even clenched fists and that kind of stuff. And it was just really nice to have none of that happen. So just coming from a really different place and, you know, who knows if that would occur again, but it just was a moment of appreciating that there's really a different way to be.
Yeah, and you know, in that, what's so great about what you're saying is that, you know, we get how we are. What we receive in our lives is, you know, how we are in the world. And so if what we want is, I don't know, you know, whatever words you would put to that, I'm guessing, just projecting wildly, that your viewpoint in the cause brings you to a, you know, something you want, what, you know, peace, love, joy, I don't know, something in that realm, would you say trees? Okay. And trees, caring for trees is what, caring and all those things. And so to come at caring for the trees from a place of hard and, you know, combative, it doesn't take you to where you want to be.
Right.
Nor does it take the trees to that place either.
Right. And the other thing about it is that it would allow me to appreciate him.
Exactly.
Rather than his being an obstacle, an enemy, a problem.
Right. Trees are good and he's bad. That it brings it all into the same how.
Right.
The same place of caring or whatever word you would put there.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what we all receive in it.
Yeah.
I was looking at, I've been experiencing kind of throughout my entire year, but particularly on the trip down, the huge contrast between just being with life and life offering me everything I need and just the huge struggle of conditioning. So just the big picture, I was at the New Year's retreat and the way my year has worked out is exactly like I had imagined it would work out. But I made a move like from a state to another state, but the whole year it was happening like I wanted, but I had all this struggle, like my house isn't selling and you know, it was a big contrast. And so yesterday on the trip down, there was all the conditioning about I should really be doing something else. And I was flying standby to try to make it here on time. And it was like life was just like waving its hand, making it as easy as possible for me. So I walked, you know, it was exactly like that. I walked up to the gate and I was a little bit late. She goes, oh yeah, you should be able to make it. And the lady at the other gate just hands me the exact seat that I would have wanted. You know? And then when I got to San Francisco, the flight was a little bit late, and my bag was the first one off. But I didn't believe it. I actually let it go.
That's a great one.
But I didn't take it. So I see.
But it comes around again.
There it was again, and I took it the second time around. And then I didn't get through the BART, the little closey thing. My bag was, you know, on the opposite side of the closey thing. And I had hurt my back a little bit, and there was no way I was going to lift that 50-pound bag. Well, sure, and there's this big, strapping young guy that goes, may I help you with that? And I'm like, yes, sure.
Where's the camera?
Yes, please do. He lifts my bag up for, you know. And so it was, you know, the contrast between just being present to just, somebody created this magnificent rail system to text, so I didn't have to even lift my bag and, you know, take me up and down so I didn't have to hurt my back. And really, should you be going? And, you know, like a huge amount of stuff going on. So just, I've been experiencing that big contrast.
And would you say that the contrast truly is where your attention is?
Yes.
Right? Because, I mean, you could have missed all of that.
And then
my bag was on the other side, and then I was like, what am I going to do? And then, and this bag came and picked it up. And then I had to... So we all these things that life is always doing for us, that you know, hand us everything that we need just when we need it. And the proof of that is that we're here.
Yes.
Right? We're sitting here. We're fine. Everything's worked out completely okay. Mm-hmm. But when we're in the conversation with conditioned mind, we miss that. Mm-hmm. We miss all the little miracles all the time that are happening. Mm-hmm. And then we wake up to them and it's like, wow, I'm just being cared for perfectly here.
Last night, after snack, I took a shower and then I made some tea and I sat on the bench outside of the dining hall. Mm-hmm. And then it got dark. It was so still and just watching the sunset. Mm-hmm. And then a collie got walked by, and it was just like this pop of joy inside, and I thought, a collie, a sunset, and a tea. You know, and it might not have been any of those, but just that wonderful feeling, and then walking back down to my hermitage and stopping and looking at the stars, and then once there, then the process came in. This is your last Saturday night here. And, you know, do we need to begin the countdown now?
Right.
And then thoughts of home came in, mm-hmm. but they weren't, oh good, I get to see. Mm-hmm. It was of the things that mm-hmm. are going to be difficult, mm-hmm. you know, to face. And the phenomenon of that is just so cruel. How far in advance of yes. something yes. painful happening yeah. I have to anticipate.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm having the anticipatory experience, right. then I have the experience, right. and then afterward, yeah. you know, then that's a ready thing for, yep. you know, the projector to get drawn out mm-hmm. and the images to be shown mm-hmm. and stuff. So it's like this whole continuum of something that is only going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, one time.
And if we were actually there for it, what would it be like? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? When the thing actually comes, mm-hmm. it's going to be, quote, painful. We don't know what it would actually be like if we didn't have this whole pre-story and then all the torture that comes after it.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure. I think because as time has passed and as more of those experiences have happened, mm-hmm. and as practice has strengthened, the ability to be present for them is so much greater.
Yeah.
You know, to just be fully present mm-hmm. to the feelings mm-hmm. And everything. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure that the lead-in and the after have an effect necessarily mm-hmm. on that experience. But coming off of retreat and coming with that feeling of adequacy and also understanding that the only one that feels she can't handle that is somebody small.
Yes.
Because life has shown me after this many years that I'm still here.
Exactly.
My heart's still open.
Exactly.
You know, I'm if anything, compassion is growing mm-hmm. and kindness mm-hmm. is growing. And to just have that awareness that that she is who is overwhelmed. Some very young part of me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she doesn't want to lose her friends. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't mm-hmm. want to lose.
Right.
And so to live in the place of that wisdom and that compassion mm-hmm. and to have that available
yeah.
to I have this little stuffed lion, and mm-hmm. so she's real easy to, mm-hmm. oh, remember, you know, mm-hmm. pick pumpkin up and, and start telling her the things that I okay. imagine that, you know, that she needs to hear, that I'm here and that we can go through anything
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
And that everything is just fine.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, you know, look at the stars.
Right. Exactly.
And enjoy this mild evening, yeah. you know, the nice temperature.
Yeah. Because especially from what you laid out, that with a number of years of practice under your belt, that when something difficult comes up or maybe something you wouldn't choose or whatever it is, that you're actually able to be present to it.
Yes.
So there actually isn't even any reason anymore to be afraid of that. because you've realized over and over and over that you're perfectly adequate to it. Mm-hmm. So exactly what you're saying, conditioning is not talking to the person who's been present through those situations over and over, because it would just be like, well, what do you mean when I go home? So what? You know,
exactly.
That's going to be completely, it is going to be what it is, and I have no idea what it is, what's going to be there. That's 6 or 7 days from now. Mm-hmm. So, and I'll be completely fine to it for it when I'm there, because I have been always before. So instead, it's talking to some very little person who can get talked into that, who gets scared. And so it sounds like what you realized is a really good way for everyone to get back present is for you to just be here with her.
Right. Right, and in recognizing that when she has that feeling that she can't handle it, it's me, in quotes, my body. Uh-huh. That the feelings, yeah. It's like my body's the stage for all of that to take place. Uh-huh. And it's easy to think that is me.
Yeah.
Whatever that I can't handle it.
Right. That, oh gosh, I really do have to worry about, and mm-hmm. yeah. But to realize, no, mm-hmm. that's just, okay, the sensations are in this body, perfectly adequate to that. If there's a very little part of me who's feeling scared or needs some kind of assistance, I can offer that to her. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's really such a gift in a way to us, isn't it? Because if I realize, it's like, you know, if I were an actual parent, right? And I have this very little person, and maybe something difficult is going on with me at work or whatever it is, but this little person is afraid or whatever. It's such a gift in a way for me to have that, because I can turn my attention there and completely be with her in love and compassion and acceptance. And it gets my attention off that silly story that's going on about whatever's happening. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've been watching for some time a version of that for myself, and it looks like, so here, let's, you know, go back to the perfect stars and perfectly content, even some joy and mm-hmm. even some really blissful times. Mm-hmm. And then the voice comes in, not the voice of doom, but it's the voice of excitement and planning, and this is what, mm-hmm. where this can go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This really
this
good feeling.
Go. Uh-huh. Well, yeah, and whatever, right, uh-huh. it gets attached to something.
Something, uh-huh.
something that is intimate with my creativity, it feels
yeah.
like.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking as we were just talking to see, well, what part of me is engaged in that? What part of me gets stickered, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels very much like excitement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, hope maybe or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the effect is exactly the same.
Uh-huh. Takes you away from
takes
here.
Me away. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so what I've been working with or practicing with is watching, staying with my senses while that's happening. So I'm still looking at the pretty trees and the gorgeous sky, mm-hmm. and I'm watching this wheel turning
uh-huh.
of what this is all going to mean,
uh-huh.
and watching the excitement
uh-huh.
and all of that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure, but I think I can see sort of like the excitement or feel, maybe it's a better, the excitement just get siphoned, just drained,
uh-huh.
right? Like there's a pipeline, right,
uh-huh.
to that story.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that's so interesting, because I would imagine that's exactly opposite of what supposedly is going to happen. So there you are with the beautiful sky and the, you know, trees, and it begins to build a sense of maybe even joy, and then excitement builds. It gets attached to a content, something intimately linked with your creativity. And then I would imagine there's a sense of like, oh, it's going to build the excitement. I mean, I'm sure it's not literally said like that in your head, but the kind of sense of, oh yeah, and then.
This is what's going to fuel all
this. This is what's going to fuel all this. You know, really give this good feeling and build it, and I can do something with this.
Yeah.
But in that very, very subtle way of just noticing, just staying with the positions and, you know, the pretty trees, seeing, wait a minute, that's actually not what's happening.
Yeah.
What's happening is that excitement is getting kind of siphoned off.
Yeah. And when I'm not paying attention to that, and they haven't seen that, you know, always, then what I get is this frustration. Mm. Like, what the heck happened? Mm. Where did all that? Why can't I never be happy for very long?
Where did I go? I'm so excited.
Why can't I do any of this creative stuff that my mind just told me 10 minutes ago that I could do? Feeling like there's something seriously wrong with me. I've got some big energy leak.
Maybe I just didn't find the right creative project. Maybe I just need a different.
Yes, which fuels the next exciting plan.
Right. I know, this time all.
Yeah, which really then adds to that there's something wrong with me because I can't finish anything. I can't make anything happen in my life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you're just pointing at something so fundamental. Conditioning is always trying to attach how we want to be to something, to some piece of content. And in this case, it sounds like it's a creative project. It could be a marriage, it could be the right house, it could be the right job, it could be the whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's always something. If I could just get that something, mm-hmm. then I'll feel the way I want to feel.
Yeah. And it's the process is the outcome. It's really that's what was hitting me as I was watching this. Mm-hmm. That was the practice principle that was right here. Uh-huh. The process is the outcome.
Love
that. Is that in a very loving way? Get it? See?
Yeah, it is in a loving way, isn't it?
It's really
in a very
is.
Clear mentoring kind of a way. Mm-hmm. This is what you get. Mm-hmm. What you get is what you do.
Yeah. But then you know what happened? Because this just happened this morning, it's the latest one. I said, then what would like? I could teach that. I could write that workshop. I could do it. The process is the outcome. It just went off with it.
Yeah. So it's funny because as you were saying that, what I was seeing is that the creative project is just being there.
Yeah.
Just being there with that. That is it. That's it.
It's one. It's I am one. I am creative. I'm uh-huh. just one. That's just all there is.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it.
Yeah. Boy, it's just like we were looking at earlier, isn't it? Where then we have to go, you know, it's that hero. Then we have to do something with that, become that, create that, make that. Wait a minute, I just did.
Yeah.
It's created.
It really was.
It happened. I'm out of there. That's it.
Yeah. And neither clinging to it,
exactly.
being willing to dip
exactly.
the toe into the other, okay, it's going to pass and we'll come back around again. So neither clinging to it, or deny, or not recognizing are the way,
Absolutely. Because then there can be that, this is it. Okay. This feels really good. Let me keep this. And then, of course, it's gone.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of the practices I love with that is just, so there it is. Thank you. Where'd it go? I don't know, but it was great. Thank you for that. Because, that was fun.
Yes. And you know, just as you said that, what I saw this too, this insight, and I didn't record, I should record this one, but because I just thought this morning that this particular time, the content was a relationship that I sort of had obsessed over for many years.
That's not very personal.
And what dropped in was, you know, I've not gotten attached to like seeing a beautiful shooting star or seeing a beautiful rainbow or anything like this. What's the difference? You know, there was what, so it's like, oh, that was great. Where is it? I don't know. But it'll come around again. There'll be another rainbow. There'll be another.
That's interesting. Yeah, there are some things we're so trained to take personally.
Yeah.
That was my relationship. I want that.
It was good.
Yeah.
What happened? What was it? All of that.
Mm-hmm. But the shooting star, we don't, we don't have the illusion that I did that, and that was fine. And why can't I have that back?
Like somehow it should stay with me forever.
Well, that's really parallel.
Thank you.
Well, I'm super grateful to be here and to have experienced the last night of lying on my right side and being able to see all the stars out the window all night, the stars and the moon and the shapes of the trees. It's
you know, even going to bed thinking, like, I never go to bed this early. And every time I had to get up in the night to pee, and just lying down and not having a thought, well, I won't go back to sleep, just hear the stars, see what happens. That was really, it was exquisite. And I just want to process this story bit about the thing that was catching me the most, coming here for the month, the thing that was, the conditioning was just ramped up because I'm so calm to be coming, that I'm a granny dinosaur with technology and I don't have a cell phone. And I couldn't get it set up in Canada because the plans are so expensive for the States. I'd have to leave it till I arrived on the plane, and I had a limited amount of time. And I got what information where I could go. I could go. I knew I couldn't go to a Walmart. I could find Walgreens, or I could go to Timuna. And you know, somebody gave us a phone that I might be able to use and set up. And it was packed by somebody else who had left the battery. Oh. And so when I arrived, I was so excited. Across from the hotel was the right place to go to this T-Mobile. Yes, and the guy opened it all up, and we have that package for this amount, and you can just text. And he said, where's the battery? It was just seeing my, this is so easy. And then he was describing some place I don't know. Vehicle, I knew I wouldn't get there. He closed at 7, and I, you know, it was just like, what's the next thing? So, well, he said, go to the Walgreens and get this thing, and then bring it back. And are you sure? And it was just, so then I came back. Oh no, that's not right. And then it was just sort of back and forth like that. I went back to the hotel, and the woman said, I'll just send my guy with you. You can, he'll take you. And he got it wrong, and so it was just continual. And finally, I had to buy something kind of expensive. It's like it all added up to a lot of money, $130 for just a text. And it's not. It's one of those ones where I have to, if it's number one, I have to get the right lettering. Sometimes I don't know how to do it, so I'm going too far by. It's so sore, I was trying. And I thought, why can't I just learn to love the learning? You know? Yep. Because there was such a story. There was conditioning almost said I couldn't come because I wouldn't have a cell phone. You know, it's like, why can't I just love this? And well, I had one number I could call to check it out. A friend is visiting in California, and she's from Taiwan, so, you know, I managed to get a text back, and it worked, and then I thought, well, I'll try, you know, something else, and, you know, if she dialed her number or something at 5:30 in the morning, I thought, oh my God, so, you know, but I could tell that the whole thing was in my body. It was just, it was the tension in my body, and the up and the down, and God, it was just like this roller coaster.
But it's amazing, isn't it? Because then it worked on some level. Maybe not the way we envisioned it, you know, whatever, it works. And so what we get is, boy, it's possible to just skip all the in-between drama and just know, in some way, that I don't know, it's going to be just fine.
Yeah, and it was actually kind of like, just what I just got in the car yesterday, picked up from the bar. I just stopped worrying about it. Oh, you have to hand in the phone. Yes, please.
It's all yours.
I've got a superstitious thing going on. Often, in Sandy Group, I'll talk about some story that I'm caught in, and it helps dispel the story, helps me get some distance.
Sure.
And I've also noticed it, So the superstition was a very lovely thing has been happening. And I want to talk about it a little bit, but I don't want to dispel it, you know, in that same way. I want it to work on this side, but I don't want it to work on this side. What actually I had going on, the conversation two people hence. Mm-hmm. Actually, this was very helpful. I'm on Facebook now, and it truly is a narcissist. But every now and then something really interesting, really fabulous shows up. And one of those things has, it's a video of a guy singing. And I'm going to cry because I've listened to it three times, and it makes me cry. It just cracks me open. And I realize that if I talk about it, it's going to dissipate. And I want to cling to it. Uh-huh. I want to have that very thing inspire me so much forever.
Yeah.
And so that's just good to see.
It is. Yeah. And I was seeing, as you were saying that, connecting up with the conversation of how we so put it out there.
Yeah.
Right? So the crack open, the inspiration, the everything that's happening to you in that, what conditioning wants to do is to pin it to the video.
Yeah. I haven't seen it as projection.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then really, truly, do something to try to keep that video powerful for me. Because as if that's my only access to it. It puts the access to the things we want in these little tiny corners. Yeah. Where we have to try to protect them which is the complete opposite, of course, I projected what's happening to you in that experience. You know, you're not protecting, you're not being careful, and that's what's cracking you open.
Yeah. Well. I'm watching someone whom I project to be cracked up.
So it'd be fun to just practice being cracked open. Bring so much kindness and compassion and patience to that process. Because we're so trained to think that it lives in these little tiny corners, then when we go to practice that, it can take some practice. You know? So it's attached to the video and I can really feel it with the video, which is why no wonder we get so attached to the thing. Because suddenly I have access to the thing that I haven't had access to. And then we begin just slowly to practice in just little tiny ways, seeing that in other places. How can I be cracked open just going about in my life? And then having so much patience and compassion with ourselves as we learn that process, not believing any stories about
it has to be attached to that.
Yeah.
Or I can't do it.
Exactly.
It has to be done to me.
Yeah.
I can't do it isn't quite the way to put that, but
right.
Yeah.
Because the I can't do it, but life can and does all the time. It takes me back to the conversation about how, you know, life just made the pathway for me smoothly to get me here, and as we just practice being here, you know, more and more life has access to cracking us open all the time.
Well, that's sure one of the positive ways of utilizing projection.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. For me, it's animals. And when it comes to the internet, these animal videos of interspecies connections, you know, a lion adopting a baby gazelle, that is different, you know, that's not, things like that, totally unbelievable, and it's usually, but I feel it in my heart, it just touches me so deeply, because it's an interspecies connection that I'm having. a lot of times I don't have that kind of ease interrelating with humans because of all the stuff that we have.
That's
but
scary.
An animal, oh my God, my heart can just be wide as the whole world. And I love it because then I get to learn that I can feel like that. And that it is here. And then I can just build my skills of opening to humans. Same way that I do to life in general. Yeah, trees and birds and water and stars.
Air and walking along and doing dishes and taking a shower.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And it's just really handy though to have those things that have less of a charge that we can really open and experience how beautiful it is. And it's not something to be avoided because of whatever reason we have chosen to
especially
be walled off.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when we do the process of owning the projection and bringing it back. Because otherwise we do stay in that realm of, okay, what's the next video on the internet? What's the next thing? What's the next movie? What's the next book? What's the next relationship? What's the next whatever?
Right.
It just brings us back into that realm of what's the next thing that's going to make me feel how I want to feel.
Right, and that's the that's what I was saying about using it consciously.
Exactly.
Because you know what it's doing. I remember the first time I saw the movie E.T.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I cried so hard, I could not even hardly get myself up out of the chair after the movie to leave. And I knew that it was way more than just what was going on the screen that was being touched in here. Mm. That something about loss that I had never, ever expressed or allowed to feel.
Yeah.
So I went to that movie about four times, purposefully to feel that because it felt so huge and so full just to feel the loss of that little boy losing that darling little creature, that big, you know. And so I think we can use those things to kind of as vehicles.
And really find experience where is that in my body? And
to
really find it in here.
And to be surprised by how much is really there, you know, to be explored and expressed.
Great. Thank you.
Sure. So there's a piece of content that is being used, and so it's rooting around in conditioned mind. So perhaps you can help me process it. So one of the things from the last retreat that stayed with me is this quote about all of life is acceptable to life. And one of the big pieces of karma for me is wanting to be accepted. And it's a kind of a hiding out because, at least that's what I'm seeing, that it's a kind of hiding out because it's acceptable on very conditioned terms. And the way I'm exploring this is with all of my relationships, where the way that I am told I have to be is not to be who I am, or not even say what's going on, if in some way it's not, it would make me unacceptable. And there's a piece of specific content that's arising about communicating with people who are not integral to my life anymore, but not wanting to state that I have no interest in being in relationship with them. Because the place that's interesting there is, what So they're all well-intentioned. They send me birthday greetings and Christmas cards, and then I feel an obligation to have to say that. And the conversation is, well, you know, what, so what? You can hit a reply and say thank you. And they don't get hurt. You don't get to, I mean, it's like, that's a social nicety. It's a courtesy. That's politeness. It's okay. So that that little concession, that compromise, doesn't actually take away from your truth. Right? So everybody's happy. You're not considered impolite or unacceptable because you choose not to respond. So what? It takes such a little effort. You know, it's just nothing.
And this is what you're being told?
Yeah, well, it's a process I'm looking at.
Okay.
Because in some senses it might be the case, but what it furthers, just because people are well-meaning and I am well-intentioned, does that really assist me in the path of being free from suffering? If it feeds the conditioning of just being acceptable, because that's what acceptable is defined as. So how do I take, if I truly feel compassion for that other person, why would I want them to cause suffering? But really the process, the person that's stuck in that process of suffering is me. Because I'm required in some way that I just haven't put my finger on it, that it's not spiritual practice. That somehow or the other, it's conditioning that's being fed in that process because I'm colluding.
Boy, it's such a subtle place, isn't it? So there's that, it sounds like on one level you're completely clear that these relationships are not something that you're still interested in pursuing. It's just not where you are. It's not what's going on for you. It's not what feels supportive in terms of your awakening, all of that. And yet, there is still this, they send you birthday cards and Christmas cards and that sort of thing, and gosh, wouldn't it just be so easy to just hit reply and, you know, just hold the social niceties. But that what you're seeing is, it's not, that's not coming from, it sounds like, a clean place.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. It's not, it doesn't feel pure.
In some way it's supporting the conditioned suffering.
Right. And so, especially, you know, there are some that are easier to, I mean, sometimes I just don't respond. And so they assume they've got the wrong email address. There's a collusion on that side of it that so it's a kinder way not to explicitly confront and say, sorry, I don't want to hear an email from you anymore. Like if I was on Facebook, I would hit ignore the friend request. But it troubles me, and there's that place of, especially with relationships that I have exited formally, you know. So I was married, I got divorced. I have no reason to continue that relationship. So what would keep me from wanting to be in a conversation about Christmas with someone who I've chosen not to spend my life with? I mean, it, or my father, or, you know, it's just that on so many layers it keeps in place an identity that doesn't serve me anymore. And but you write that email and say explicitly, in a very kind and compassionate way, that I choose not to be in relationship because I'm afraid of hurting that person, within quotes, or somehow be found unacceptable in the social sense, is not a step that I seem to be able to take. And it's just an interesting place to watch.
And does it feel like the interesting place to watch is really coming from a place of not taking it personally, from compassion, from patience, from a sense of, wow, this is a place where it feels like, in some way that I haven't seen, conditioning still has a foot in the door, and as I sit with this, I bet you it will unfold, and I'll...
Yeah, and I think, thank you for saying that, Jen, because that's exactly what I think I'm looking at, which is the content circled back many, many times. There's many opportunities to, it's going to circle back again, and just to go, wow, I mean, it's so small.
Yeah.
And it's so subtle.
Yeah.
But somehow my freedom is tied up in it.
Yeah.
And our freedom is tied up with it. And I think I just saw something in that process, which is if all of life is acceptable to life,
mm-hmm.
then even the statement of this is what I want
mm-hmm.
can be acceptable. In other words, what am I really risking?
Right. Right.
You know?
Yes.
I don't know. It's just it was just an interesting process to sit with.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like I'm hearing a great gift in it, in the sense of to realize that your practice is a place where you actually want to look at all of these tiny little places where conditioning is still able to live,
mm-hmm.
and the amount of integrity of just going through that process and seeing, because it would be, in one sense, it would be so easy to just say, I mean, come on, thank you for that, hope you're doing well, you know, bye-bye.
Exactly! Exactly!
How hard
is
that?
But that's the point, that as soon as that I do that, it's going to circle back again, because
exactly.
It's not going to let life's
yeah.
not going to let me go,
yeah.
okay, I just dealt with something.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And being willing to stay present to it on that level,
yeah.
instead of just send off the reply, okay, done, I don't want to deal with that anymore, done, but just getting it that, my gosh, there isn't anything we can file like that.
Yeah.
If it's happening in an unclean way, including the suffering, and completely outside of any judgment or anything, just getting that, okay, then I really want to walk through it with consciousness, which is really all that's required of us, isn't it? Is to stay completely conscious to it. So one time maybe you reply, and one time you don't, and one time this happens, and one time you get this response, and one, but to keep staying present to all of it is really the only way through.
And I just thank you, because there's something else dropped in just as you said that, which is part of the unexamined process is what about me is not acceptable. So somehow or the other, if I respond to that email, there's something that's judging me as unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in other words, it is in the process of conditioning, everybody else gets to be okay because I'm not going to do anything within quotes that I can to upset their feeling, but my feeling.
Right.
The resentment that I feel of having to respond.
Yeah.
In some ways, there's anger because in being unconsciously inviting me to a relationship that I don't want, I'm required to say I don't want to be it.
Yeah. It's amazing. And you made a really, I thought, beautiful point, very subtle a little bit while back that speaks to that, which is that if I truly love this person and have compassion for this person, this other person, which I do, because as I practice, I love everything, I have compassion for everything. Do I want them to be in a position of doing that? That the gift that we each have is to take complete responsibility for this person, and then no one else has to, you know, what? Produce any karma, and you know they can't perpetrate anything.
Wow! And what I just saw and what you said is that in the world of conditioning, I almost lost it. There is a relationship between how you respond and how acceptable you are.
Uh-huh.
In other words, the acceptability is a conditional construct.
Yeah.
That I'm acceptable no matter what I do is probably the unexamined belief that is being held.
Thank you.
Thank you.